From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 22nd day of February, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Chad Hart will join us from Iowa State University, Ag Extension Economist, to talk about last week's USDA fundamentals of the supply and demand picture for corn and soybeans. We'll hear about the cash grain market from Greg Johnson at the Andersons, and Mark Russo will be here from Risk Pulse to discuss the weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today finished at $5.51. That was 8.25 higher than May at 5.50 and a half. 8.75 higher in December contract at 4.69 and three quarters. New contract high there up 9.75 cents. March soybeans at 13.83 and three quarters, 6.5 higher. May at 13.87 and a half, up 7.5. And a new contract high for November soybeans, new crop at $12.11 and three quarters, up 15.5. The bean meal $1.20 higher. Bean oil up 35 cents. That bean meal, by the way, was down $1.20, not up $1.20. Wheat futures soft red at 6.64, up 13.25, and the hard red up 12.75 at 6.44 and a half for the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $123 and a nickel in the April, down 62.5 cents. Feeders were down, or rather up 20 at 139.32 and a half, and lean hogs for the day at $85.12 and a half, up 62.5 cents. Crude oil at $61.67 a barrel, up $2.40. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.85 and 9 cents, 3 and 6 tenths of a cent higher in gasoline on the RBOB, up 3 and 4 tenths. At $1.84 and a tenth of a cent. Natural gas at $2.95 and 7 tenths. That's down about 11 and 2 tenths of a cent. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss what happened in Chicago for the day. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. Good day, especially for new crop corn and soybeans.
Oh, boy, yeah, the new crop led the way today, unwinding of the bull spread. And there's reason to believe that this new crop could probably stay relatively firm to the old crop here for a moment or two, especially after Friday's release of the annual outlook supply-demand balance sheet for this coming crop year. You know, if you look at the acreage and the yield and the demand, it's all fairly aggressive, but the bottom line is 145 million bushel bean carryout for this coming crop year. Assuming the demand stays strong, assuming we get those extra acres, almost 7 million more acres, and that yield at 50.8, you know, that's going to be quite a objective to achieve. But the bottom line is, for mathematical purposes, if you take one bushel off the corn bean yield, take one bushel off the bean yield, is to save 90 million. You subtract 145, subtract 90 million from that, you got a very, very explosive market on your hands. So this bean market closing above the $12 benchmark today kind of opens the door to $12.45, $13. And a lot of the analysts believe $13 is the next level to go to assure we have some bean acres here this coming crop year.
Yeah, so is the acreage battle, in your opinion, then, reignited at this point? And is that part of the reason? I know you said some unwinding at the bull spread, but it sounds like soybeans are going to really have to keep the battle up in order to keep the corn planters from rolling this spring.
Well, I think it's all around higher acreage all around. If you go back in history and look at acres and prices, anytime we're at these price levels, we find acres out of the woodwork for the most part. You know, last year we had quite a bit of prevent plant. There's ideas that some of the CRP acres, some guys are telling me, you know, they're looking at quite a significant drop in income off those acres. And so we can get in a situation here where we'll achieve those acres. And plus, too, if this wheat crop does not green up right and get going, you know, we could see some switching there. But the main thing, too, is we continue to see dry weather concerns across the Midwest here. Even though we have fairly good snow pack cover here over the short term, we're going to need some timely rains here to assure we're going to have some decent production prospects. And I think it's some end-user pricing here, not necessarily buying acres, but some of the guys mapping out longer term here are securing supplies or putting some hedges on to make sure they can have some $12 beans versus $20 beans if we get an explosive market.
Now, on the corn side of the ledger, have you been watching closely plantings in South America, and how are they going in Brazil?
They're continued struggle. It's hit and miss. That southern third Brazil's, you know, a little bit on the dry side, a little too wet on the northern part there. It's going to continue to be delayed. And we're going to see a situation where, okay, we've got that price in, but what's more important is the southern half of the U.S. Typically this time of the year, we see some activity starting to take place. If you've been watching the weather forecasting through here, they're off to a slow start. And until we get this southern part of the U.S. going here, this corn market might stay kind of firm here to assure we've got that crop off to a good start.
When does the Chinese Lunar New Year end, or has it already?
It has, and what we had is China's back in business here, and even the last week's Mardi Gras and some of the carnival festivals, I think they're back from the hangover here and ready to do some business. So we'll see if we see some additional sales here as we move through this week here. We did not see any sales here this morning. There continues to be ideas that there is business being conducted. Also, too, to put a little bit more fuel on the fire, there was a report out over the weekend from China, once again talking about food security, and it's called Number One Document. And this document, you know, talks about keep building modern animal agricultural facilities to protect its hog production capacity. And when you look at the continued regrowth of that hog herd in modern-day facilities, it's going to take a lot more corn and meal in their bunkers to keep those animals fed. So a lot of optimism there if this Chinese growth is longer term. Talk that China has been talking to the Biden administration, and he would be dropping some of these tariffs too. So we'll see how this all unfolds as we move higher. What this basically says, bottom line, is we're going to have a dynamic corn and bean market as we move through the entire growing season of 2021, Todd.
Anything to report on the livestock side of the ledger? For instance, the cattle on feed report?
Cattle on feed report was a little bit negative there. I think they fairly well priced that in. Spread activity, buying hogs, selling cattle. Weather is going to be the main important thing in the cattle complex here as we move forward.
Hey, thank you so much, Kurt.
All right, take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always listen to him again if you'd like at willag.org, willag.org, and you can find a way to listen to us as a podcast as well on that website. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Chad Hart from Iowa State Extension now joins us. He's an agricultural economist there on campus at Ames. Thanks for being with us, Chad. I want to go through last week's supply and demand figures as they were released at the Agricultural Outlook Forum in Washington, D.C. It was actually online. This is an annual event that USDA puts on, and it's kind of our first look at what USDA is thinking about the coming crops. As you took a look at the supply and demand figures, I'm sure you made note that demand for corn was pretty optimistic. What'd you think of the numbers?
Oh, yeah. No, what USDA basically says is that the demand run we've been seeing here over the past 6-7 months is something that they see carrying forward through the 2021 calendar year and deep into 2022. They said, basically, as they looked, they saw increased feed demand, increased ethanol demand. They even threw in a little more on the export side. So it was a very strong number. And that was I'm going to say it's a tail, not just for corn. That seemed to be sort of across the board as you look at what USDA said for agricultural demand going into 2021, 2022.
Well, they were in for about, what, a half a billion bushels of extra usage compared to the 2021 projections, up 200 million for feed and residual, 250 for the ethanol use, and exports were up 50 million as well. However, they come up with an ending stocks. It's pretty close to what we have for this season. For next year, they think it'll be 1.552 billion bushels. Are you in on all these numbers?
Well, when you look here, what they basically said was that production's going to match what we're seeing there on the usage side, which tells you they're looking at a record crop being projected at least here for 2021. They did that based upon adding about 1.2 million acres to plantings this coming spring. And so that brings us up to 92, so that's easily an achievable number on the corn side. Yield, they said 179.5 is sort of their weather-adjusted trend line yield here. So if we hit that, though, that would be a record yield, and that leads to that record 15.15 billion bushel worth of production out there. So when you look at what they walked us through here, is they basically saw a record crop coming in, but record usage to match, and they basically offset each other.
Okay, so I have a different sort of question. Most in the trade think that the 1.5 billion bushel carryout for this year might be a little bit on the high side. Coming into February, the trade thought 1.4 billion for carryout for the United States. I'm wondering what you think carryout will be this year. And do the numbers that USDA put out look like they work better with a 1.4 or 1.45 billion bushel carryout than they do with a 1.5 billion bushel carryout for this year?
Yeah, if you think about it, if we do go down to that 1.4, that's going to shift the dynamics here a bit. And we would see, you know, just leaving everything else the same as USDA laid out there, that would bring that ending stock number down for the 21-22 crop down to 1.45. So it would have a drop there. I think then you would see USDA raise that CU than average price a little bit as we looked out there. The big question here really becomes, you know, as you say, that export number. The idea is that right now, when we look at where sales are at, we're up there at about 2.2 billion bushels already. USDA's number's 2.6 billion. So we're well on our way to getting there. I think the question really is here is, well, okay, how do these export sales sort of continue as we work out, especially through the summer months, when we do tend to see that sales pace really slacking off? That's usually when South America is dominating that export sales market globally here. But the idea is then USDA says we're going to ramp right back up when we get to next fall.
The supply and demand table for soybeans is pretty interesting to think about historically, because the 18-19 ending stocks or 909 million bushels for soybeans, 1920 at 525 million. And we've been eating through stocks very quickly this year at 120. And for next year, USDA says maybe 145. That's not much of a big jump there.
It's not, and it's sort of the same story as what we saw in corn. They basically said when we're looking at the demand side, crush demand holding about the same, there'll be just a little bit of decrease in export demand as we look out there. But in the grand scheme of things, again, the idea is that you put a yield of nearly 51 bushels per acre on that, you're going to produce about four and a half billion bushels of soybeans, and we're going to use about 4.5 billion bushels of soybeans.
Anything else jump out at you about those numbers?
Probably the big one here, and it goes back to something you mentioned on the corn side, this idea that we're wondering if the, you know, that ending stock number is still either a bit too high or something else is going to have to change. When I'm looking at the export sales data thus far for the 20 crop, the idea is we're already up there again around 2.2 billion bushels for soybeans as well as we were for corn. USDA's target's 2.25, so we're basically there already. I think there's going to be some, let's call it a good argument as to whether USDA is going to have to nudge that export number up again and those ending stocks down even further as we approach springtime.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That's Chad Hart. He's an extension economist at Iowa State University in Ames. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse in Chicago. Mark, thanks for being with us for the day.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
I'd like to plumb some of your expertise because you, over the last decade or so, have worked pretty closely with energy. And I'm wondering, logistically, how you view the last 2 weeks as it's related to natural gas supplies.
Well, Todd, yeah, last week's extreme cold in the plains, and not just extreme, but record-setting cold, one of the biggest cold air outbreaks in the plains of the past several decades, certainly had its impact on overall natural gas supply and demand. What happened here last week is this combination of both in the magnitude of the cold, but then also with some of the snow and ice that developed across the southern plains and then some of the main shale plays where they're drilling for natural gas or where gas is pumped out of the ground and then kind of put into the network. And so had a lot of freeze-offs take place. A lot of the wells actually froze over. And when you get into that type of situation, there's no movement of the supply of gas. So that was one of the primary impacts. And obviously a big one is that then had a domino effect there on other impacts, which ultimately then led to the power issues across Texas and other areas.
Yeah, so we end up with short supply on short notice. Is there much capability within the system to move natural gas the opposite direction in the pipelines, for instance, from the northeastern portions of maybe the Midwest back towards Texas?
Oh, good question there, Todd. Actually, I don't know the exact answer there, but by my understanding is that there's really the limited transmission there or direction is pretty limited. And so that was really not an option with last week. And once you get into this type of extreme situation, the options are quite limited.
Let's turn your attention to now the resolution of some of this, which is warmer weather to begin with. that's coming this week. And gosh, as you and I have noted already, 30 or 35 degrees feels pretty balmy about now.
Yeah, we've started to see this warm up in the Midwest, and that started to take place in the plains late last week. And for the next few weeks, it's a much, much different pattern. The extreme cold is in the rearview mirror. And in fact, for much of the central and eastern U.S., temperatures will average out to be actually a little bit warmer than normal. So a sign of spring, which is actually not around, not that far around the corner now, but much warmer and ultimately a night and day situation from a week ago.
And then in South America, what are conditions like for the crops that are being harvested in Brazil?
Overall conditions across Brazil, they're in pretty good shape. Still some rain around. This is still the heart of the rainy season in Brazil. So the next couple of weeks, we are forecasting a normal rainfall pattern. So some areas could still struggle with harvesting, but no sign of any really wet patterns that would push things even further back from already the delayed harvest season that they're seeing this year due to the delays in planting of this year's crop.
Hey, thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Let's check now the cash grain market. We're joined by Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks for being with us. Kind of a nice day outside, relatively speaking, at least warmer than it has been. I'm wondering what over the last couple of weeks has happened in the way of farmer movement of cash grain. I suspect not much during so much cold.
Yes, on the terrible days, the 0-degree days, farm movement was basically non-existent. But it was even slow on the relatively good days. So hopefully, we can have some warm weather this week, melt some of the snow and ice, and get back to have farmers hauling in and getting grain moved off the farm.
It'll be a race against the road closures now, I suppose.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, now we go to worrying about it being the roads being too soft. So, you know, we really need to get everything melted off and then maybe get it cold one more time and firm up those roads. But we'll see if that happens. You know, it's still February, so there's probably still some more cold weather coming at some point in time.
Do you have much grain that needs to come in that's already been sold?
Yes, we do. It's I would say it's about average for this time of year. You know, farmers have taken advantage of some of these price rallies, and they've got grain to deliver. But there's still a fair amount that you know, that didn't get sold last year already. And if it didn't get sold then, it, you know, it's been very slow since fall harvest. Farmers have been very slow on the trigger, thinking that maybe they sold a little too quickly, and they're holding out on this last third of the corn crop, last 5 or 10% of the bean crop. So they're the farmer selling has been very slow here the last several weeks.
I suppose they remain optimistic after USDA's numbers released at the USDA Ag Outlook last week, too.
Yes. You know, the acreage numbers were high, but the demand side of the equation was strong as well. So basically, the carryout at 1.55 on corn and 145 million on beans, and that's assuming we have normal weather, good yields, and that's not a given, you know, how dry we've been. So, yeah, I think farmers feel pretty confident in waiting. It doesn't feel like this thing wants to sell off very much until we get a couple questions answered on acres and what kind of start we get off to this spring.
Well, I'd like a couple of questions answered on demand. So the feed and residual number, feed number was up 200 million bushels. Ethanol up 250 for the coming marketing year. Do you think those are correct? That's a pretty good increase. There was a 50 million bushel increase in exports for a total of, what, 500 million, I suppose.
I was a little surprised by the ethanol number. I guess the government just assumes that with the vaccine that we're going to get the economy back to normal sooner rather than later, and I hope they're right, but that one is still up in the air as far as I'm concerned. I'm not entirely convinced that we're going to just have people, you know, even if we get everybody vaccinated, you know, some people can still work from home, and will the schools really get started back up again? Maybe not until next fall, and will people be able to go on vacation? All that driving, you know, will we get the driving miles in to increase the demand on ethanol? I guess that's the question I still remain to, or still have unanswered at this point.
Yeah, do you think old crop has much left in it? Instability going forward?
Well, it feels like now with the acreage number coming out, you know, maybe we've gone high enough, with, you know, 10, 15 cents higher type of thing. But we're getting close to being high enough to say that we've got enough acres. So now it really boils down to, you know, what kind of weather do we have on the new crop and what kind of demand, you know, follow through demand will we see from China on the old crop? And obviously, we don't know the answer to either one of those yet. So the market feels like it's going to be pretty supported in here. I don't look for any big sell-offs, but I'm not sure that we really need to make new contract highs either in corn. It just feels like maybe we're at some pretty good prices here, and maybe we can go sideways for a little while until we know more.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. He joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.